Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we said a couple days ago that we're going to do a program on the mind and human consciousness. And if you think about it, it's a powerful argument. It's more evidence for the existence of a personal God, because consciousness is not material. It's not physical. It's not made up of atoms or molecules. Consciousness is something different altogether. And so the brain, the human brain, is designed. It's put together by our DNA in every one of the cells in your body, a trillion cells in your body. Each cell knows how to assemble your brain. A skin cell knows how to assemble your brain. It has all the instructions necessary. And your brain passes these messages through neurons. There are tens of billions of neurons in your cell, in your brain, and each neuron is connected to many, even a thousand or thousands of other neurons. And we don't really understand how is it when if a chemical electrical signal goes through your brain and a message is passed from neuron to neuron to neuron, how is it somewhere along the line that you get the notion that you are angry at someone, that you're angry, that you're annoyed? How do you get the notion that you are envious or that you're pleased? How is it, you know, a computer, we could teach a computer to look at objects on a screen and try to identify a cat versus a dog. We can do that with a computer, and we tend to call that software artificial intelligence, make it look like the computer is intelligent. But if you show a computer 1,000 pictures of 500 cats and 500 dogs, and it sorts them all correctly and identifies which ones are cats and which ones are dogs, then ask the programmer a question, or ask yourself this question: does a computer know what a dog is? It has no idea. It doesn't even know that it just sorted 1,000 pictures of cats and dogs into two lists. It doesn't know that. It has no consciousness, and it has no conception of anything. It's just material. And so some people think, well, because our brain has a lot of neurons and a lot of connections, that because there's super massive parallel processing going on, therefore our mind arises out of all that activity. And we make supercomputers, Cray, in what, Colorado Springs? They make supercomputers around the world. They make computers with millions of transistors in them doing jobs, billions. And it's all going on at the same time. And they're as dumb as a rock. They know nothing. So how is it that we human beings, we have consciousness, which is different than just information processing? It's feelings, ideas, creativity. And so it's a fascinating topic. And it's something that atheists are extremely uncomfortable with. And so they try to take consciousness and relegate it to the area of the physical world, so that your consciousness is actually just a physical phenomenon. And that's absurd, because it's patently not physical. Now, I had a debate called Does God Exist on theologyonline.com. It was a 10-round moderated debate by the webmaster. His name is Knight. His screen name is Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, over at theologyonline.com. By the way, that's a sister website from our site, KGov. Bob and Yurt Live is on the web 5 days a week, and it's archived for years, going back years, online at KGov, KGOV.com, so that if you ever miss a show, just go to KGov.com and download it in high-quality format or lower quality, depending on how fast the connection you have to the internet, and then you can hear it. And if you really like it, you could copy it to a CD and play it for one of your friends or one of your enemies even. But one of our sister websites, TheologyOnline.com, had a debate. Actually, they have these formal debates called Battle Royales. And the seventh one they held last summer was the most popular one to date, with tens of thousands of people going to that forum to read that debate. And it's a lot of fun. And we now sell it in a convenient printed out format called Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. And I'd like to read to you just a few excerpts from that debate and the arguments that I raised for the existence of God dealing with consciousness. All right? I had a statement in the debate. I used a word that public school teachers won't know, so I'll explain it. It's irrefragable. What does that mean, irrefragable? That means undeniable. Now, back when the average American was homeschooled, back 200 years ago, people knew that word irrefragable and they used it. But today we forgot that word. But anyway, irrefragable means something that cannot be disproved. And I write a simple little five-word sentence early in the debate. I wrote, your own consciousness, your own consciousness is irrefragable, undeniable. You cannot disprove that you exist. It's not possible. Because if you did not exist, you couldn't put forth an argument that you didn't exist. You know, I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. So that let me go on with excerpts from this debate with Zaketh on Does God Exist? Consciousness is an absolute. And I write, Zaketh, here is my third proof for the existence of a supernatural creator. Altogether, I give 10 proofs or 10 lines of evidence. Here is my third proof for the existence of a supernatural creator, consciousness. In other words, being self-aware. Atheists cannot even conceive, theoretically, in the most basic of terms, how self-awareness could develop from atoms and molecules. I wrote, I can sense another question coming on. So far, I've pointed out that atheists cannot even conceive of a fourth alternative for the origin of the universe. In other words, the universe was either always here, one, or two. Let's see, the universe was either always here, or it was created in the recent past, right? Here's possibilities. How is it? Now we're talking about the human mind and conscience and your consciousness. But if we step back for a moment to just think about the universe and a rock, like a rock, how is it that a rock is here? Well, either the rock was always here, or the rock created itself from nothing, or the rock was created by something else. Those are three possibilities. And so the universe was either always here, and Stephen Hawking has pointed out with 1,000 other physicists and scientists that the universe could not have always been here, because if it was, it would all be the same temperature by now. All the fires would have died out, and it would be a cold, dead universe, and it's not. So as Einstein pointed out, it had to have a beginning. And so people who don't like God, they came up with a natural explanation. They say it's the Big Bang. But the universe was either always here or it created itself from nothing, which is sort of like the Big Bang, or it was created supernaturally by something outside of itself. And those are the only three possibilities. The natural universe was either always here, or it created itself from nothing, or it was created by something supernatural, that is, something outside of the natural universe. So, Stephen Hawking, by the way, you've heard perhaps that he just publicly stated that he must have been wrong 30 years ago, and for 30 years he's been studying black holes. And he has said that, and there's no proof for the existence of black holes, but there's some observational evidence that's claimed to support black holes, and they may or may not exist. But Stephen Hawking said that black holes, they suck matter into them, and then that matter is simply gone. It's gone. It never comes back out. It's gone. And that seemed to contradict the laws, the basic, most fundamental laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics, that say that matter can be neither created nor destroyed. And so where does the matter go? And Stephen Hawking has just formally published a paper, presented it. It's in the media. You could Google it, find out on the web. But saying that, yeah, the laws of thermodynamics do not allow this matter to just go into non-existence. It goes into a black hole and it has to come out one way or another. And he says in a very technical way, it comes out in a mangled form. Okay, there you have it. So at any rate, if you try to forget the most fundamental laws of science, then what you have is maybe a philosophy or a religion or a mythology or magic, but you don't have a scientific view of the universe, of existence. So the universe could not have always been here because the laws of thermodynamics, it would have burned out by now and been cold. It could not have made itself from nothing because matter cannot be created nor destroyed, only transformed from one form to another, and you can't do that forever because you gradually lose available energy. So the third rational choice is that the universe, the first two are impossible by the laws of physics. It could not always have been here, and it could not have made itself forever. There's only one other possible choice. There's only one other possible option for the existence of the universe, and that is it was brought into existence in the recent past by a supernatural creator. And so at any rate, that's what I refer to here. I say so far I've pointed out that atheists cannot even conceive of a fourth alternative for the origin of the universe, yet they are afraid to admit it, and they cannot even conceive of a way to reduce the functional requirements of biological life. And now, Zaketh, here's another question I formally posed to my atheist opponent. I said, Zaketh, don't attempt to prove, don't provide details, but please just explain conceptually, in the most broad terms, how consciousness could have arisen from atoms and molecules. That's a tough one, right? That's what I write in the next paragraph. So consciousness, self-awareness, arising from matter, that's a tough one. Because the molecules have to become aware of themselves. Yikes! But wait, Zaketh, before you ignore this question also, he pretty much just ignored the questions I put to him, and I answered all the questions he put to me. Let me throw in a handicap for you. You can begin with biological life. Yep. Start not just with atoms and molecules, but with proteins, DNA, RNA, ribosomes. Oh, go ahead and take the enzymes. And the cell wall, too. Yeah, I'll grant you an entire organism of living cells. In fact, a world full of them. Now, from atoms and molecules and biological life, can you give us some idea, any hint of an idea, just conceptually, even vaguely, of how consciousness arises by natural processes. Not only, Zaketh, do you believe in something you cannot prove, not only do you believe in something you cannot give details about, you believe in something, and I'm talking about consciousness arising from matter, all right, just by accident, just by the laws of physics somehow. Not only do you believe in something you cannot prove, not only do you believe in something you can't give details about, you believe in something you can't even imagine. You can't even conceive of how a molecule or a protein, for that matter, or a million of them together begin to become self-aware. That's a kicker for you, isn't it, Zaketh? Not only because you can't even dream of how it might happen, but because you know that I know that you can't even make a wild guess. How does consciousness arise? Atheists are loath to admit that there are only three viable alternatives for explaining the origin of the universe, but they can't even imagine a fourth. Maybe they could try to say it does not exist, but that's not an explanation for the existence of the universe. And they think of every possible environment for beginning the development of simple biological life, but they can't even conceive of a simple biological life form. You know what I mean by that? Cells, for a biological life form to reproduce, it has to be pretty complicated. It has to separate itself from its environment, has to process raw materials. It has to have some kind of an instruction set to explain to itself how to reproduce. It's got to do a lot of stuff. It has to process raw materials into forms of energy that it can use. It's got to expel its waste. And evolutionists say, well, when life first started, it started simply. It was simple. Okay, well, give us an idea. How do you have a simple biological organism that can reproduce? How do you do that? And if you can't do that, then it can't reproduce. And to be able to reproduce, by definition, it's complex. And so, of course, atheists can't. They say, well, some simple biological life form first began. And, oh, please describe, just in the broadest terms, how a simple biological life form could arise. What functions would it have? Start by listing its functions. And they don't like thinking in clear terms like that. And atheists must have, let's see, okay. So atheists are loath to admit there's only three viable alternatives for explaining the origin of the universe. They think of every possible environment for beginning the development of simple biological life, like maybe it began in the ocean, maybe it began on Mars, maybe it began under ice, maybe it began in a thermal jet, like at Yellowstone. So they think of every possible environment, but they can't conceive of what a biological life form might do. And then atheists obviously have self-awareness, but they have to get self-awareness to arise by natural processes. But they can't even dream of a conceivable way that that could happen. Not that they can't prove how it happened. Not that they can't give the details. They can't give the foggiest notion about how it could happen. They can't even dream of a conceivable way that consciousness could arise. They don't even know how to think about it. They don't even know how to think about it. Zaketh, your worldview has no foundation. Faith can get no stronger nor blinder than the faith of an atheist. Now, I give a paragraph of my theistic worldview, and then I ask Zaketh a question. And here's my theistic worldview. I have a worldview described in these theologyonline.com posts consistent within itself regarding origins and with the observable facts and laws of science. There is no fourth alternative to explain the origin of the universe, and the most well-established physical laws indicate the universe could not always have been here and could not pop into existence on its own from nothing. And so that leaves a supernatural, powerful, pre-existing creator as the only other option. The irreducible complexity of biological life indicates that it could not have originated from simpler pre-cell life forms. And so that leaves a knowledgeable creator as the only option. And now for my third offer of evidence, the consciousness of human beings could not arise by natural processes from matter. And so that leaves us with a personal creator. Personal. Because up until you consider that human beings are personal, maybe the creator is some robot or some battery in the sky, some eternal computer program. But since the creator created people with self-awareness, and the cause, the effect cannot be greater than the cause, then we know that the creator must be self-aware. He created persons. We must have a personal creator. So my next question to Zeke the atheist, and by the way, you can get this debate from us. It's 170 pages, and we have it here at Bob and Yurt Live. You can get it online. You could buy it at our web store at kgov.com. What do we sell the debate for? $19.95 plus shipping and handling. You can get it at kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So I ask, Zaketh, I am asking you to indicate true or false, and please don't ignore this question, true or false, Bob's theistic worldview paragraph above contains foundational issues which his position does explain directly, but for which my position struggles to even explain conceptually. All right, all I asked Zaketh was to answer true or false. So he could have said false, but he's afraid to, because then I'd say, which part of it is false? Which sentence? And then he'd say, that sentence, the second one. Right? Say he said that. Well, the second one says, there is no fourth alternative to explain the origin of the universe. So if he said that was false, I'd say, okay, either the universe was always here, or it came in, it brought itself into existence from nothing, or it was created by a supernatural origin. So those are the only three. You say that's false. What's a fourth option? There is no fourth option. So anyway, it's fun to debate atheists. And then I conclude with, Zaketh, read again the last sentence of my worldview paragraph. The consciousness of human beings could not arise by natural processes from matter. And so that leaves us with a personal creator. We just crossed the threshold in this debate to a personal God. Until now, I've only presented two arguments for God: evidence for him being creative, eternal, powerful, and knowledgeable. Now, I am going to move into his being a personal God also. The foundation is laid. And so the debate continued. And it was a lot of fun. That's one page of 170-page debate that I just presented to you. It's really fun reading. If you haven't read Does God Exist? Bob and Yurt versus Zaketh, I think you'll love it. And then if you know any atheists or agnostics who are interested in thinking through the issue of God, then you hand it to them. You say, hey, did you see this? Read this. It was real popular on the web, and here's a printed copy. We distribute it. We give a real nice printing of it, nice cover, and we distribute it in the form of an unpublished manuscript, just like the plot. At any rate, now I have in my hands here a technical journal. Actually, it's called Creation Research Society Quarterly. And one of the articles on here is titled Mind, Materialism, and Consciousness. And what's so great about the creationist who wrote this article, Brad Harab and Bert Thompson, they're both PhDs, is that they quote dozens of secular evolutionist scientists who are groping and grappling with the issue of mind and the brain. And they struggle trying to explain our self-awareness and our ability not only to process information, like animals could process information, right? An eagle sees, say, a rabbit from 500 feet up in the air, and he dives down, and he just grabs that rabbit and is off with it and kills it and eats it. Well, he's processing information. Who was it? Our friend, Art and Alice Risley. They live in the mountains and in the foothills here in the Rocky Mountains. And Art's looking out over his beautiful yard. He's got a small yard, about 110 acres. And he's looking out at his yard, and there's a fence. And here comes a bird just swooping down, and it stopped and landed on a fence post. On a fence post. That's pretty good. We can't quite get a helicopter to land on a fence post. It's amazing what animals are able to process information. But are they able to ponder the implications of their existence? Do they do that? Do they recollect things from their childhood, from when they were young? And do old memories come back and bring a tear to their eye or a moment of joy? Does that happen to animals? No, animals can process information, but human beings are different in that we are self-aware and we know that we are aware. We know that we are aware. And we could form concepts. And it's so exciting because these concepts that we deal with, they're not physical things. They're not physical. They're not atoms and molecules. They're ideas. For example, determining the area of a square. You've got a square, and if it's 3 feet by 3 feet, how much area is that? Well, it's 9 square feet, right? That's a concept. Now, is that concept meaningless? Does it have no meaning? Is it arbitrary and random? Or is it true? And if it's true, what that tells us is that there is an existence that is not physical. It's not atoms and molecules. There is a spiritual, mental existence that has truisms and falsehoods. So it is so intuitively obvious to people who are honest that existence is not just material, it's also mental and spiritual. You have the physical and the spiritual. And there is spiritual truth. So at any rate, hey, we're out of time. Come on out and visit Denver Bible Church. Go to our website at kgov.com. And also, hey, do right and risk the consequences.